Most of the analytical data in the corporate world in 2026 still passes through a virtual computer that was originally conceived to run software inside pretend cable television remotes. That is, when you state it plainly, a strange sentence. It is also true. The Java virtual machine, the fake chip we spent the last four episodes describing, was born from a project at Sun Microsystems in 1991 whose original goal was to write software for a smart television remote. The remote never shipped. The fake chip survived. Over the next 35 years, it became the runtime under almost every important enterprise system on Earth. Apache Spark, the dominant analytical engine of the last decade, runs on it. Apache Kafka, the most widely deployed streaming messaging system, runs on it. Apache Flink, the most popular streaming engine, runs on it. Apache Hive, Apache Druid, Apache Pino, Apache Presto, and its descendant Trino all run on it. Most of the data infrastructure of the modern internet, the pipes through which trillions of business transactions flow every day, sits on top of a software simulation originally written to drive a cable box that never existed. And then, over the last 6 or 7 years, slowly, an alternative has been built. Not by one team, not by one company, by 1,000 independent engineers working in parallel, mostly in Rust, occasionally in C++, almost always on small focus projects, each of which sets out to do exactly one job better than the JVM tool it is replacing. Apache Arrow, Apache Data Fusion, DuckDBpola, Sail, Materialize, Rising Wave, Red Panda, ClickHouse. The list has stopped being a list of curiosities. It has started being the next center of gravity. Some of these projects are already running in production at organizations larger than the ones still running the JVM systems they're replacing. This is Rust, gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 32, the post-JVM data future. Today, I want to widen the lens. We have spent four episodes on Spark and on Sail, on one specific JVM tool and one specific Rust replacement for it. The pattern that produced Sail is not unique to Sail. The same pattern, the same architectural reasoning, the same shift from a fake chip to a real one is playing out across every layer of the data infrastructure stack. By the end of this episode, you will know the full cast of new tools. You will see the structural reason the transition is happening now, and you will have a clear forecast for what the next 5 years are likely to look like for anyone working with data at scale. Let me back up and name the players. The story properly starts in February of 2016 with a project called Apache Arrow. Two engineers, Wes McKinney, the creator of the Python library called Pandas, and Jacques Natto, the chief technology officer of a company called Dreamio, realized that almost every data tool in the world was duplicating the same work. Every database, every analytical engine, every data frame library had its own internal way of laying out columns of data in memory. The result was that every time data moved from one tool to another, it had to be reshaped byte by byte into the next tool's preferred layout. McKinney and Natto merged their independent efforts into a single project at the Apache Foundation, and Arrow was born. Arrow is not a database. It is a standard, a specification for how columns of data should be laid out in memory, so that every tool that speaks Arrow can hand data to every other tool that speaks Arrow with zero copying. Once Arrow existed, the seal between tools became permeable. In 2017, an engineer named Andy Grove started a project called Data Fusion. Data Fusion is a query engine written in Rust, designed to read Arrow data and execute SQL or data frame operations against it. In February of 2019, Grove donated Data Fusion to the Apache Arrow project, where it grew and where it eventually became its own Apache top-level project. Data Fusion is the brain inside Sail. It is also the brain inside the InfluxDB database, the time series database called GrepTimeDB, and a dozen other systems. Andy Grove later wrote a second project called Data Fusion Comet. Starting in 2024, which is a Rust accelerator that drops into existing Spark deployments to speed up the slowest operations. He is almost single-handedly the load-bearing engineer behind a significant fraction of the PostJVM data ecosystem. In 2019, two researchers at CWI Amsterdam, a Dutch research institute named Mark Rasvold and Hannes Molaisen, published a paper at a conference called SIGMET on a project they had been building called DuckDB. DuckDB is an embedded analytical database, the analytical equivalent of SQLite, written in C++, M, IT licensed and free. Version 1.0 shipped in June of 2024. It is now downloaded more than 6 million times per month. A company called DuckDB Lab spun out of the Research Institute in 2021 to support the project. A separate company called MotherDuck raised $52 million to build a cloud platform on top of DuckDB. The project is, depending on how you count, the most popular new database in the world. In June of 2020, in his bedroom in the Netherlands during the early months of the pandemic, an engineer named Richie Vink wrote the first commit of a project called Polars, which I will pronounce Polars. Polars is a Rust replacement for the Pandas library that millions of Python data scientists use every day. On the same data, in the same shape, Polars is 5 to 10 times faster than Pandas and uses 2 to 4 times less memory. Vink and a co-founder named Cheel Peters started a company in 2023, raised $4 million from Bain Capital Ventures, and in September of 2025 raised an 18 million euro series, a led by Excel. In December of 2023, the team we met last episode, Shahab Amin and Haran Lin and Everett Roeth, pushed their first commit of sale. The pattern continued. What is happening across all of these projects is the same pattern repeating itself. The pattern, told in one sentence, is that the JVM big data ecosystem is getting outflanked. Look at the list of dominant JVM data tools from the 2010s. Apache Spark, Scala on the JVM, gets replaced by Sail and by Polars and by DuckDB for analytical workloads. Apache Flink, Java on the JVM, gets replaced by Materialize and Rising Wave, both Rust for streaming. Apache Kafka, Scala on the JVM, gets replaced by Redpanda, written in C++. Apache Pino and Apache Druid, both Java, get replaced by ClickHouse, also C++. Trino, the descendant of Presto, has Rust ports in early development. Every layer of the JVM data stack has, somewhere, a native replacement, either shipping in production or close to it. I want to be careful here. This is not coordinated. Nobody is running a meeting where the post-JVM strategy is being planned. It is 1,000 independent engineers in 1,000 small teams looking at the same hardware and the same data sizes and the same bills and making the same bet. The bet, in plain language, is that in 2026, a systems language like Rust or C++ is the right tool, and the JVM is yesterday's compromise. There is a sociological observation worth making here, because it explains why these projects keep happening despite the established alternatives. The engineers building Sail and Polars and Redpanda and ClickHouse are not undergraduates. They are not naive about the JVM. Many of them spent the first 10 or 15 years of their careers writing Java or Scala professionally. They know the strengths of the platform intimately. They're not betting against it out of fashion. They're betting against it because after years of staring at production bills and at GC logs and at memory profiles, they reach the same conclusion. The conclusion is not religious. It is a numerical claim about what a particular class of workloads costs on a particular class of hardware in the year 2026. When that many experienced engineers independently reach the same numerical conclusion, that is informative in a way that is hard to overstate. They're not switching for fun. They're switching because the math has changed. What makes this transition possible at all, the structural reason it can happen quickly, is that the data itself does not have to move. In the old days, switching analytical engines meant migrating petabytes of data from one proprietary format to another, a process that took years and cost millions. Today, almost all corporate data sits in object storage, in places like Amazon S3 and Google Cloud Storage and Azure Blob in open formats. The two dominant open table formats are Apache Iceberg, which I'll pronounce Iceberg, and Delta Lake. Both of them are file format standards that any engine can read. Both of them have committers from every major data company. A company that has its data in Iceberg today can run Spark against it on Monday and Sail against it on Tuesday and DuckDB against it on Wednesday without moving a single byte. The query engine has become pluggable. The storage layer is the moat, and the moat is open. This is what the data industry has, in recent years, started calling the lakehouse architecture. The reason the post-JVM transition will not take 20 years is that the storage layer is already done. It has been a slow build, but the work is done. The engines are the only thing that have to change, and switching an engine is, in the lakehouse model, a matter of restarting a service against the same data, not a matter of migrating anything. For you, the listener, the implication is this. Over the next 5 years, most of the new data infrastructure shipped at scale will be native, written in Rust or C++, not in a JVM language. The legacy JVM systems will not vanish. Banks will run Spark in 2040, the same way insurance companies still run programs written in COBOL in 2026. But the center of gravity will move. New teams, starting new projects, will reach for Sail before Spark, for Polars before Pandas on Spark, for ClickHouse before Druid, for Red Panda before Kafka. The reason is not religious. The reason is arithmetic. A Rust query engine starts in milliseconds. It runs in a fraction of the memory. It has no garbage collector. It costs the operator 80 to 94% less to run, depending on the workload. Eventually, the spreadsheet wins. The change will be quiet, the way most foundational changes are quiet. End users will not notice. Dashboards will not announce it. Conference keynotes will catch up to it 3 years late. What will happen, instead, is that bills will come down and notebooks will respond faster, and the people who manage data infrastructure will sleep slightly better because the runtime under their work will have stopped pausing without warning, and because the memory under their work will have stopped tripling for no visible reason. That is the bet 1,000 engineers are making. So far, the spreadsheet agrees. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that the entire JVM data ecosystem, every important tool from Spark to Kafka, to Flink to Druid, has a native replacement either shipping in production or close to it, and that this pattern is not coordinated. It is 1,000 independent teams making the same bet. The second is that the structural reason this transition can happen quickly is the lakehouse architecture. The fact that data now sits in object storage in open formats like Iceberg and Delta Lake, which means switching engines does not require moving data. The third is that the bet behind every one of these projects is the same. In 2026, the JVM is no longer the right tool for the hardware and the workloads of the moment, and a generation of engineers is acting on that conclusion. Next time on Rust, gently, we open a new season and we look at a different corner of what Rust is doing to the world. The developer tools renaissance. The package managers, the linters, the build systems, the search tools, all rewritten in Rust over the last 5 years, all measurably faster than the things they replaced, all changing the daily texture of programming work in ways most users never notice but every developer feels. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.